Oh God, real silence in our world is so rare that it almost scares us. When we hear nothing but silence, we want to speak. And yet it's in those silent moments when we need to not speak that we are the most liable to hear the word that you would say to us. Not that it comes through our ears, but that it comes through our spirits, our inner ears, our thoughts. Oh Lord, teach us how to silence those thoughts, those inner ears, from the clatter of the noise around us and the noise within us, the noise in our world, so that we might hear your still and quiet voice that would speak to us within. God, help us not to be surprised by what you might say to us or what you might remind us of or what you might impress us to think or think about or to conceive or to do. Oh God, we know that you are always with us, but help us to move and breathe and act in such a way that we are with you as well. That we give our attention to you and that we not only feel loved by you, but that we take the time and spend the energy and effort to give our love to you. Oh God, we pray for these whose names we've called this morning. We thank you that you have made a way for us to communicate with you and to turn our trust over to you. We thank you for the gift of a new grandson like William Jack and for the opportunities of a new start and a new journey for Campbell. God bless her and go with her and help her to know, even in the homesick moments, that she is not alone and that her church family and her real family, her home family, stand with her. Oh God, for all the brokenness in our world, for the hurts and the hopes, for the happy times and for the hopeless times, help us to turn our hope to you and to know that we are never without it. We love you, O God, and we thank you so dearly for loving us in Jesus Christ in such a special way. We make this prayer in his name and for his sake as we share together the prayer that he teaches us, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Okay, Amy's going to share with us this morning about our mission moment, which is for the Wesleyan Campus Ministry.
Wesleyan Campus Ministry. I thought maybe I'd ask, do you remember your college days and going to the Wesleyan at your college? I remember fondly going to the Wesleyan at the University of Southern Mississippi in my time. And then I also wanted to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've been across the street to be at the Wesleyan. You guys all been there from time to time? Yay. So yes, the Wesleyan, I remember fondly going to the Wesleyan as a college student myself. And There's a work day coming up on Saturday, so if you can, just stop by and check it out. The UM Army group did indoor painting, so it's fresh paint on the inside. And what else did he tell me? I forget now. Okay. But basically, yeah. And so stop by and see what UM Army has done and see all of the programming that's coming up in the fall. Brian told me that the drop a dollar donations will go toward ministries, programs and Bible studies and things like that for the fall and for the spring for the students. So I hope you will stop by on Saturday from 10 to noon to check it out and then and give generously. Thank you.
So now it's time for us to bring our tithes and offerings before God, and so included are those single dollar bills that you put in here, which shall be for this Westland student ministry. You can write a check for that too if you'd rather. You don't have any singles this morning. Not many people carry cash anymore, right? Let's pray. God, we ask your blessing upon these gifts and upon these givers. May all that we see and say and do honor you. Amen.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of my ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to
Amazing grace.
All mercies, 43. Thank you.
Amy?
Children's time?
Okay. All right.
We got more kids.
Yeah. You want to come on up?
Come on up. Anybody can come up.
No.
All right.
James. Hi, James.
James.
I'm Amy. All right. So the Bible verse that we're talking about today is from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Well, I'm going to read verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that gets in our way and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Have you ever run a race?
Yeah.
Yes. Have you ever won a medal or a trophy for running a race?
It was the end of the school.
Yeah. Field day?
Yeah. I had to run the marathon.
Marathon?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it is a thrill to run a race, isn't it? And to hear all the people cheering and shouting words of encouragement, go, go. And it's even a greater thrill to win the race and get a trophy or a medal. One day you'll do that. But several years ago at the Olympics, there was a young man named Derek Redmond. He is a young man from Britain, and it had been his dream all his life to win a gold medal at the Olympics in the 400-meter race. And he had worked hard and trained every day to get to the Olympics, and he was there. And his dream of winning a gold medal was within his reach. He was at the semifinals, running the race of his life. He could see the finish line as he made that last turn. But suddenly, he felt a sharp pain in his leg, in the back of his leg, and he fell on the track with a torn muscle in his right leg. The medical attendants ran toward him, but Derek struggled to his feet. He wanted to finish the race, and he hopped toward the finish line on one foot. Suddenly, a large man came out of the stands and pushed the security guard aside and came to Derek's side. Do you know who that was? It was Derek's father. And his father said, "You don't have to do this, son." But Derek said, "Yes, I do. I have to finish this race." So his dad said, "Well, then, we're going to finish it together." Hmm. And they did. They stayed in Derek's lane in the race. And at first, the crowd watched in silence. They didn't know what was happening. But then they all rose to their feet and cheered and wept and cried at what they were seeing. Now, Derek didn't win a gold medal that day, but he did walk away with an incredible memory of his loving father, who, when he saw him in pain, left the stands and went down to help him. And that's what our Bible lesson is about today. It teaches us that life is like a race. You know? Our life is like a race that has been set before us, and sometimes we might fall or get hurt, or be sad or mad. But we have some things with us. We have, first, we have a great cloud or crowd of witnesses. You see those people there? Who will help us, who will smile, who are happy to see us, who will pray for us and encourage us. And we have our families who do the same. And we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and who helps us. And we have Jesus, our Savior, who left his place in heaven to come down to earth to show us how to run the race, to be a servant, to be helpful, to be loving. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will run a good race. Let's pray.
I didn't win the marathon, so I'm exercising on my bike.
Oh, good. You're training. Good. Yes. Let's pray, okay? Dear Jesus, sometimes life is difficult. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Jesus, and to run the race that is before us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. Come on,
thank you, boys, for coming for children's sermon, and thank you, Amy. Beautiful. Great images. I'd like to share with you a brief text from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. This is a classic New Testament text, and from the writer of Hebrews, which is a very unique book in the New Testament. We don't know who wrote it. There are several theories on that, but it's a rich book aimed at people of the Hebrew faith and of trying to help them come around to claiming Christ and to acknowledging that Jesus is in the line of the greatest prophets of the Hebrew tradition. I'm going to read from chapter 12, just two verses. Now, let me tell you, before when a text like this starts with the word therefore, you have to pay attention to what it has already said in the previous paragraphs or chapters. And what has been going on is a litany of faith, of names of saints of the church, all the way from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, down through Joseph, the patriarchs. You recognize the names of the patriarchs of the Old Testament. All of those are named in the earlier part of the chapter. Hebrews 11, that is, the chapter before the one that we're going to read. And it comes up to the beginning of 12 with the word therefore. With all that that's gone before, it says this: therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Look into Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has now taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of this, God's holy word. Amen. So we're to run forward. And where it speaks of the cloud of witnesses that encompass around us, I think we are to understand that as people who are looking to us to show them the way. People who are followers looking for a leader. And the world's full of those. The world's full of leaders, too, that are looking for somebody to follow. That's us. We follow Christ. But we call others to follow along with us as well. And if we're living our faith, it's going to be a signpost for others to come and live faith in Christ as well. So we have to remember that others are following us. My father used to say, don't forget to shine the heel of your shoes, because somebody's going to be watching you as you walk down the street. We don't shine our shoes much anymore. I like to wear boots, and so I try to keep them shined up. And every time I do it, I think of that and think of my father who told me that. But we have to watch how we lead people, because people are undoubtedly looking to you with admiration. I can imagine that each of you have somebody you look up to with admiration and with respect, and somebody that you would trust to follow. And if that person is following Jesus, then you've got a good model. And if they're not, then maybe you need to rethink that. So I invite you to think about how you can follow Jesus and even more closely, especially in times of transition in your life, how you can follow Jesus more closely and know that others are going to walk in your footsteps. So we had a great cloud of witnesses last Sunday in the 1050 service with our Vacation Bible School Sunday and our Back to School Sunday. We had a lot of people there that we don't usually see. We had 140 people in second service. And that's a record since I've been here. And we had a smaller crowd in here. I think some of you may have made the migration to come to the 1050 service as well, or maybe you were just somewhere else last Sunday. But we had our children singing and a VBS video, kind of a celebration of all that we had experienced and helped others to experience during the week. It was rich. We also had a great effort at welcoming people, and I hope that we did a good job of that. A lot of the people that were here for that have other church homes, and I get that. But for anyone who doesn't, we have a spot for them, and we've tried to let them know that. So gratitude to Amy and to all the leaders that she helped to assemble and train and lead for that Vacation Bible School. Those 4 Wednesdays, I think it was a stellar thing to do it weekly instead of every night for a week, to do it weekly. We built habits, and we ended up on that last Sunday before school started with a chance to say, come on back to you're going back to school, come on back to church as well. So I was proud of the way that unfolded, and grateful to all the people that worked in that. So we talk about a cloud of witnesses in this Hebrews text. There are always people around us that influence us. If you'll think about it, you have voices in your head that you listen to. Your parents, maybe. Mentors who have been with you and have been a great influence on you. And so I encourage you to think of those as a cloud of witnesses to faith. And as we think about that, I'd like to explore the word cloud a little bit. On the internet, we have what we call a cloud where we store documents, right? We say it's in the cloud. And when you put it in the cloud, not a cloud, but the cloud, for me, that's a Google Drive. But when you put it in the cloud, you're supposed to be able to get it back from any computer that you can log on to. And by the way, that log on means you have to remember your password and your username, or you can't log on and get those documents. The cloud becomes a wall at that point, a locked door. There's a lot of talk about clouds, though. Rain clouds, storm clouds, clouds where we store our files. We talk about clouds, but the clouds that make rain do that because they contain water. And those clouds are really made of droplets of water, evaporated. And maybe they are waiting for a storm to brew and drop some of that water back to the earth in form of rain or hail or something. Sometimes the clouds mean storms. And clouds can inspire us with their beauty, but they can also scare us sometimes when storm comes up. They can even destroy us with their force. When I lived in Avery, Texas, and I was in elementary school, my father went to his uncle's funeral. Uncle Fate, it was. And it was way out in West Texas, somewhere close to Lubbock. My father left in our 63 Chevrolet early one morning, and he was planning to go to that funeral and come back the same night. Well, he didn't get back, and he didn't get back, and he didn't get back. And finally, he came back, and that car was all dirty and dusty, and my father was red West Texas sandy mud from head to toe just about, because he had driven through a West Texas sandstorm. And I can remember my mother worried sick about him and just could not wait for him to get home. And after he landed safely in the driveway, she was so mad she couldn't stand it and he couldn't stand her. (Laughter) He smiled and he said, well, the steering wheel wasn't very effective when the front wheels were lifting up off the ground because of the wind. So he had to take it slow. It was the way the days before having a phone in your car or in your pocket. Everything he had or had on was the color of that red West Texas sand that followed him home and apparently tried to stop him along the way. His snow-white hair had turned red. My mother was glad and mad at the same time. I guess he didn't stop and call because he was just too eager to get home before it got worse, maybe. So clouds can definitely be an indicator of something. But what? And maybe we need some discerning. Weather people can tell you if it's a rain cloud or a snow cloud or a sandstorm cloud. Maybe just a beautiful cloud on a summer day. Weather forecasters don't always know what's what, but they're pretty good at guessing. And sometimes they just get it wrong. You know, I wonder about forecasting the weather. I think maybe somebody could guess what the weather's going to do and be right half the time. 50-50, you know. But maybe the weather people do a little bit better than that. But it still pays to watch the sky, especially we just don't always know what to expect. And even the professional weather people can get it wrong. You've seen comic strips where there are clouds. You know, the little bubbles where they make their conversations and an arrow points to the one that's speaking. Sometimes instead of a circle bubble, it'll be a little cloud. And that usually means that they're not saying it, but they're thinking it, right? A thought cloud. I like that. A thought cloud. And then there's Charles Schulz, the character in the Peanuts comic strip called Pigpen. Isn't he the one that kind of carries a cloud around with him all the time and did a little cloud of dust or dirt? Of course, in Scripture, there's plenty of references to clouds. And the people of Israel, as we've said, followed the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. And God's presence was with them in that. They understood it to be so, and it seems to have been so, because they were led. They were led along their way. So the Lord often appears in a cloud in the Scriptures. Numbers 14 tells about the inhabitants of the land and how the people of Israel dreaded confrontation with them. But that cloud stayed over them and stayed with them and converted from a cloud by day to a sign of fire by night, a pillar of fire. Nehemiah 9 says, because of your great compassion, O Lord, you did not abandon them in the desert. By day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the path that they were to take. So, that gives new understanding and meaning to what we call a cloud of witnesses. A cloud of witnesses. We have an opportunity to face those who have gone before us and to recognize those who are still with us as leaders. But those who have gone on before us, my father included, can be with us in that cloud of witnesses that Hebrews speaks of. It says, so then, with endurance, let us run the race that is laid out before us. Since we have such a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us throw off the extra baggage. Let us get rid of the sin that trips us up. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and for the sake of the joy that was laid out before him, he sat down at the right side of God's throne. So, where the cloud symbolizes the glorious presence of the Lord, well, there and then, it's easy to see that it's a good thing to have your head in the clouds. Let us walk in His shadow, and let us live in His light. Let us pray. Oh God, we give You thanks for the many ways that You lead us, that You caution us, that You direct us and call our pathways, building walls and doors like a maze. Help us to follow You, even when times are challenging, even when we don't find ourselves able to see what is ahead. Let us follow Your leading and live in Your grace. Open the doors for us and block the ways to danger, and inspire us always to follow You in Your footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking about hymns we might use at the end, and I was thinking of an old one called The Unclouded Day, but that's the wrong message. We don't want the cloud to go away. We want the cloud to lead us, and we want to pay attention. Sometimes the cloud leads us with light. Sometimes it leads us with shadows. But let us pay attention to God, the many ways that God comes to us, and let us claim our faith and live to it and through it with Him. Amen. Jim?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and
So until we meet again, may each step you take be a step that lights your way. A step that God has already called you toward and led you with His cloud of light. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, sir. Yep.
Oh, we're sneaking out. Glad you're here.
In Georgia service, except for the jail, in my life.
Which one is that?
Sorry. You said President Trump was a liar. I don't think that has a place in
the world. I did not say those words.
You said you're not
going to
do old
that.
Yes, you
did. Good morning,
Sam. Check me on that. I've got a recording of it. Wow.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed it.
I'm happy you're here.
Thank you. How are you?
Yes.
Good.
Good. Good.
Oh, yes.
Good to see you. Thanks, Patrick.
You're welcome.
Good morning.
I guess we missed you.
Yeah, we missed you.
Good morning.
What were you? You were two.
Good.
I remember you were little.
See you over the kitchen counter.
Hey, God bless you.
Thank you.
Go with God.
It was fun. We were picking out our apartment. Before we found the apartment, we were at Central Market, and Pastor Valerie was there.
Oh,
so yeah. Giving her a list of churches. Oh, you're going to be in this neighborhood. Well, so, yep. So she's got connections over there already.
That's good.
That's good.
Well, you find a place there, but you always got a place here.
Yes. Thank you.
Rodney? Yes,
sir.
Good.
Good. I said, I'm there today. That's good. She's always doing well.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. Still living on Bonham.
Yep. Absolutely. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Janice Celia's on Bonham too. Did you know that?
Good morning.
And Atkins' house right next to me.
Good morning.
Which is nice.
I didn't mean to ignore you, but I sold them their house, okay. And I wanted to remember how old the kids were. They were 1 and 3.
It's been a while.
Oh my goodness.
Enjoy it. Just remember in Lion King that there's the cloud that's got the father in it, Mufasa. Do you ever go watch the show when you talk about the cloud?
Actually, we saw the new version of Lion King a week or so ago. I don't think so.
But the old one was like, you know, Mufasa, you could see the stars. You know,
that was the stars.
I thought
about
the
cloud too.
I've got to bring.
That was a good children's
song. Yeah,
most of them will know it.
Right, they know that stuff.
Oh.
The reason Chat wasn't with me at the beginning is the minute we walked in the door, the nursery lady came out and said, I have no air conditioning. And he tried this whole time until the sermon kind of chimed the thing to get it going, but he tripped every breaker in the church and it's still not.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know why. I doubt it. But I don't know. She just was concerned. And she said, the thermostat doesn't say anything. So he went to look and tried.
Sounds like a power failure somewhere.
Well, maybe splashing on and off. That does it at our house. Anyway, he did get here on time.
I saw it. Come in. All right. Thank you.
Oh, I know one other thing. You know that the bulletin still says Joe is in a country home estates. He's been out 3 weeks. And I would have mentioned it, but I'm not sure where in Greenville. I think the same place that Mary Lou is, but I'm not positive. but
we're only as good as what
I know what they tell you. Because I had to ask the neighbor.
Joe
McMahon. Joe, Mary Louise is still there, but Joe in Country Home Estates, but her husband Joe has been moved out into memory care. So, and I'll find out where.
I thought Joe and Louise were in Dallas somewhere.
No.
Were they for a time?
No. Well, not that I know. Their kids are next door to us, so that we didn't even know. I had to go over and ask, when is Joe moving? Because he was on the list of waiting to get in. And they said, oh, he's been there 3 weeks, and Mom finally went to visit. They wouldn't let you visit right away. And she went, and the visit was nice. So she said, we're all relieved. Good. Anyway, and the daughter lives next to me, but the son lives out of Gary, out of state. And he came. They all were there to help him move. So
I have visited them at Country Home Estate.
Yes.
It's been a good while.
Yes.
And they used to come to when I do the service there once a month.
Yes, yes.
But they haven't been coming to that. And I asked about them, and I was told that they had moved.
Well, he had, but not she. Well, I'll double check, but that was the plan.
Was two, three months ago.
Okay. Well,
so
he was on the
waiting
list.
Maybe that was bad information, but that's the information I've been acting on. I have gone to see them because I didn't know they were there.
Right.
I thought they were gone.
Well, you know where the Arnolds were. They were right down the hall to the left.
That's where
the
I
last
did.
One. Yeah, they're still. Well, she's still there, as
okay.
the way I understand it.
Good to know. Thank you.
But I'll get it straight and call the office so they can. Correct.
That's great. We're missing Mary Lou on some of that stuff because she's the one that keeps up with everybody.
Yes, very much so. Because when we were doing when we were looking for the history files for the celebration, and we were working on that now, by the time we went and talked to Mary Ann, and Mary Ann said, well, Mary Lou's going to come here. I'll find
out. It happens.
Who was that man that we saw at the who was that man that we saw at the antique store? What did he say his name was? And that this was his church, but he didn't ever come.
I made an effort to remember that, and I believe I can. It was Gerald.
Yes. Gerald. Gerald.
And I can come up with the rest of it, but let me focus right now on numbering my pages because they all look alike and they are terrible.
Why don't you take them to your office and sit down and do it?
I have it now. I'm gonna just do it while it's hot. I may have three people stop me in the hall on the way to my office. I hope that's right. Even with snow white hair. That's correct. So, and then I wanted to just say, Lou Ann, the one we bought the pie from, said, great job, except for the jibe on President Trump. And she said that I called him a liar. Yeah. I said, I did not say that. And she said, yes, you did. I have no idea what I said that she misunderstood. But I've got a recording of it. And I would not say that.
Yeah.
And I did not say that. I don't know what I said, but she heard me say, President Trump is a liar.
You didn't say that.
I know. But I don't suppose I could ever convince her because she was pretty mad. I don't quite know how to respond to that.
All you can do is listen back to it later and see exactly what you said and... I mean, you can either let it go, or you could let her listen to it and say, I didn't say he was a liar. I don't remember what you did say.